Well, good weekday evening. Today is Thursday, May 2nd. The time is 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you are tuned in to the weekly edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. I'm your host, Brother Alan Weir. For this brief period of time in comparison to eternity, when we come together for prayer, supplication, intercession, and petition, and prayer warfare on behalf of those of us who are parents and guardians of unsaved sons and daughters. This is a live podcast, and we welcome you to it. I myself am the parent of an unsaved adult child. I have two adult children, and this podcast was born just over 2 years ago out of my burden and concern for the deliverance and salvation of my two adult children. And in this time, this podcast has been on the air. My son surrendered his life to Jesus Christ and accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. His name is written in the book of life. He will be raptured. He'll be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I praise God that the Lord worked in his life, convicted him of his sin, and drew him to the foot of the cross. And now I continue to pray for my adult daughter, that the Spirit of God convict her, and that she come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And out of the burden for my unsaved adult children, I began this ministry work. And a dear brother of mine, Brother Jamie Schock, is my partner in this ministry. He's our sound man. And his daughter could safely be said was the first of many who I'm sure have come to Christ through this ministry. When I first began this podcast, it wasn't long afterwards when I received a text message from my dear brother Jamie, who told me, after much prayer and supplication on behalf of his daughter, and he texted me one day and told me that his daughter had surrendered her life to Christ. Well, I had to pull over and praise God for that. We had been praying for her every week during the podcast, and God delivered her from the bondage that she was in. And we praise God for her deliverance and salvation. You know, every day we hear in the news of world events spiraling out of hand, international crises, war in the Middle East, tensions rising between Russia and the United States. I've said it many times before in previous podcasts, and I'll say it again. Biblical prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And the next event in the prophetic biblical calendar is the rapture of the church. The taking away of all born-again believers. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds in the air. Maybe perhaps you have heard of movies that have been made about the rapture. The Tim LaHaye series, Left Behind, is about the rapture and about the world events that will be taking place after the rapture takes place. Millions and millions of people, born-again believers, disappearing. Our Lord Jesus Christ will come and remove them from this earth. And following the rapture, there will be a period of time known as the Great Tribulation, a period of 7 years, when God's judgment will be poured out on a rebellious and unrepentant world. During this period of time, there will be a satanic world leader who will rise, the Antichrist, and proclaim himself to be God. Many will worship him. Many will consider him God and will follow him. He is the very incarnation of evil. When the Antichrist takes over, he will demand that as a mark of allegiance to him, people have to receive his mark of identification, which will either be on your hand or on your forehead. The mark of the beast, 666. It sounds incredible, but it is all true. It's in the Word of God. And all these things will come to pass. I say all this because we do not want our unsaved and prodigal sons and daughters to be left behind to face all this when the rapture takes place. We want them saved. We want them to get raptured. It will be a horrible time here on earth. But if your prodigal son and daughter surrenders their life to Jesus Christ, makes him the Lord of their lives, then they will be raptured. They'll be taken up into the clouds and removed from this earth. Think of it. Think of the rapture taking place and your loved one, your son or your daughter being left behind, panicking and looking for their born-again loved ones. I believe in transparency, and I often think about my daughter. When the rapture takes place, my daughter, if she doesn't accept Christ, will be looking for me, looking for her relatives who are saved. But praise God, I firmly 100% believe that my daughter will come to Christ. I mentioned that as an illustration. We must continue to pray, fast, and believe that our prodigals will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we cannot be lax in our prayers, lax in being salt and light, lax in our witnessing to them, lax in living Christ before them, living epistles that can be seen and read by all. We need to be lights before them, cities on a hill. Our prodigal sons and daughters need to see our lives bearing fruit. We need to continue to pray for them, fast for them, and witness to them as well. Not necessarily shoving the gospel down their throats or forcing it upon them, but gently and prayerfully living Christ before them and speaking to them whenever the opportunity arises about the love of God and the gospel of salvation. The enemy, Satan, wants nothing more than to see your prodigal enter a Christless eternity. The Word of God says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants your prodigal son and daughter physically dead and spiritually dead. And so we need to pray and fast and enter. Prayer is also warfare. It isn't just coming before the Lord and asking passively. It is persevering. It is work. It is warfare, rebuking the forces of darkness, pleading the blood of Christ over our prodigal sons and daughters, pulling down strongholds, and rebuking the enemy as he tries to hold on to the lives of our prodigal sons and daughters. This is a fight to the death. A dear sister in Christ gave an illustration a while back that bears repeating. If you knew that your son or daughter had been kidnapped and was being held hostage by someone, you would do everything in your power. If you knew where they were and you knew who was holding them hostage, you would do everything in your power to come to their aid and rescue them from whoever was holding them against their will, was holding them hostage. And what we would do physically, we need to do spiritually. Fight for the souls and spiritual lives and physical lives of our unsaved sons and daughters. They may not believe that they need Christ. The enemy has blinded them. So we need to pray that the Holy Spirit of God pull down the blinders and illuminate their minds and convict them of their sin and help them to realize their need for a Savior. That's what this podcast is all about. Every week at the same time, we come together. We have numerous requests that we will be bringing before the Lord at the appointed time during this podcast to lift up in prayer sons and daughters who are not saved or who have backslidden, so that they come to the faith and a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is a live podcast, and again, we welcome your participation in it. If you're listening live on the Podbean app, and you want to share a testimony as to what the Lord is doing in your life, or perhaps share a scripture that has spoken to your heart and has encouraged you, or maybe you have a prayer request that you'd like us to bring before the throne of grace that you want us to touch and agree with you on, just click on the phone icon on the Podbean app and we will patch you in live. Something you have to say or something that you want to share can be an encouragement to someone who's tuning in. Even myself, I would love to be encouraged by you. I need encouragement many times myself, as I continue to pray for my unsaved daughter. And so this is a time of ironing, sharpening iron, mutual encouragement and edification. If you want your prayer request to be anonymous, you can type it in, and we will see it on our screen, and God knows the details. If you don't want us to know the details, we will respect your privacy and your confidentiality, and we will not divulge anything. God knows all the details. We'll just bring it before the throne of grace. And we'll pray for your unsaved, backslidden, or wayward son and daughter. We want to welcome listeners from a variety of locations. Right here in the United States, we welcome listeners in New York, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North and South Carolina, Oklahoma and Massachusetts, Connecticut, Idaho, and Georgia. We welcome parents of prodigal listeners in Alabama, Maryland, Tennessee, Texas, Ohio, Utah, Wisconsin, West Virginia, New Jersey, Montana, Illinois, Minnesota, Louisiana, New Hampshire, Oregon, Washington State, Rhode Island, Indiana, Arizona, Michigan, Iowa, New Mexico, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Wyoming. Internationally, we have listeners tuning in Mexico, Canada, Australia, France, Uganda, and Brazil. We have parents of prodigal listeners in the United Kingdom, Bosnia-Herzegovina, the Philippines, India, Germany, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Japan, Russia, Ireland, India, and New Zealand, and most recently, the Netherlands. We welcome you all to this podcast. Now, because of time differences in many of these locations, both nationally and internationally, many people will not be listening live, and they'll end up downloading this podcast and listening to it later on. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There are no constraints or restraints on the Holy Spirit. He will move mightily in a downloaded podcast just as powerfully as he can in a live podcast. And so we welcome everyone who's tuning in and will be listening later on. This is the Parents of Prodigals Ministry Podcast. Touch and agree with me right now in an opening word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time, and we can come together for mutual encouragement and fellowship. All of us, many of us, most of us, parents of unsaved, wayward, or prodigal, or backslidden sons and daughters, some teenagers, some adults, and we are burdened for their salvation, Lord God. Hell is real. The rapture is really going to happen. And Lord, we just pray right now that this be a time of encouragement and strengthening for those of us who are parents and guardians of prodigals. Let this be a time where we can strengthen each other, be encouraged, be comforted by the power of your Spirit and whatever is shared here today, Lord. Let your anointing be on this podcast. Let everyone who's tuning in, whether it's live or someone who's downloaded this and listening later on, let your anointing fall on all listeners so that they are receiving grace and peace and strength as they continue, as we all continue to pray for our unsaved sons and daughters. Time is short, Lord. We know that. You are coming quickly. Our salvation is drawing nearer than ever before. Pour out your Spirit during this podcast, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The title of tonight's devotional is Finding Hope in the God Who Hears. Finding Hope in the God Who Hears. And our text this evening is taken from the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 7. Micah, chapter 7, verse 7. And I'll give you a moment to find that scripture text in your Bibles. The book of the prophet Micah is only 7 chapters long, but in these 7 chapters, there are approximately 8 references regarding God as a shepherd to his flock, expressing dismay and displeasure that they've strayed away from his oversight. During Micah's ministry, the kingdoms of Judah and Israel were in the middle of positive economic prosperity. Things were going well. There was widespread wealth and a long period of peace, as neither nation was at war with any other country. However, along with this period of prosperity and peace came with it the opportunity to indulge in rampant sin and moral degradation. Those that were wealthy were oppressing the poor. Those in power, both spiritually and in government, were practicing bribery, oppressing the unfortunate, and abusing women and children. Personal holiness and obedience to God was absent from the population in general, as the people of both nations lived in decadence. As Micah ministered to both kingdoms, his message had 3 main ideas: their current sinfulness, their oncoming judgment, and the hope of their restoration. Similar to Jeremiah and the other prophets of God, Micah faced stiff opposition from his audience, who didn't want their pleasure and their lifestyle disrupted or interrupted. This kind of frame of mind can be seen in our prodigal sons and daughters today, who don't give God a second thought in their lives and don't want to be bothered with messages about God or sin, repentance, eternity, or judgment. However, Micah had a Spirit-filled response to the situation. In order to keep from becoming discouraged and going into despair from witnessing the sinfulness of the people and their negative response to his message, Micah turns away from the circumstances and turns towards the faithfulness of God. Let's read our scripture text together. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. And I'll be reading from 2 different versions. First, I'll be reading from the New American Standard, and then I'll read the text from an Hebrew interlinear. Let's start first from the New American Standard. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Next, from the Hebrew interlinear. I, therefore, will look to Yahweh. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. In the Old Testament, a prophet was compared to a watchman or a lookout. And just as a watchman stood on the city walls, ready to warn the people of any coming threats, a prophet was sometimes called to warn the people of the need to repent of waywardness and to turn to the Lord. Prophets had a holy calling, and they were separated from the world and see things and were watching things from a higher or more heavenly point of view. You and I are watchmen with regards to our prodigals. We have a heavenly calling, and having heavenly perspective, and we are to warn our prodigals of judgment and the eternal consequences should they not heed the warnings to repent and turn to Christ. You know, many times while we're watching and waiting for the deliverance and salvation of our prodigals, God will be moving, sometimes in little ways. And that will be evidence of God's working. But often the mistake we make is assuming that just because we don't see our prodigals miraculously or instantly delivered and turn to the Lord when we want it to happen or the way we think it should happen, we will dismiss what God is doing. But the godly and persevering parent or guardian of a prodigal son and daughter will look expectantly for the Lord's hand at work, the same way a watchman observes every shadow and listens for every sound in the night and darkness. We need to look for every evidence of God's working and not be dismissive of what we see. To close our eyes to what God is doing, no matter how insignificant it may appear to us in the flesh, is to open the doors and portals to demonic despair, doubt, and mistrust. And so in our devotion this evening, we're going to unpack five key phrases in our scripture text that dispel despair and renew hope. And those five phrases are: 1, but as for me; 2, I will watch; 3, I will wait; 4, salvation; and 5, God will hear. First, but as for me. We can praise God for Micah's "but as for me" perspective, which is a term of contrast that reverses the dreary description of a people who for the most part turned spiritually upside down. Micah has a watchman-like attitude that opposes the negative circumstances and negative people around him. He was not going to allow the unbelief of those around him and the seemingly hopeless situation to deter him from placing complete confidence in God. If others wanted to despair or doubt or not believe, Micah would speak to them and speak life to his circumstances and say, "But as for me." And in spite of the dire circumstances, Micah, as a watchman, would look intently for evidence of God's working, trusting God to act in his own way and in his own time. If the circumstances with regards to your prodigal son or daughter are causing you to focus on the negative, I encourage you to say to your flesh and to the enemy, "But as for me." The second phrase that renews hope is, "I will watch and I will look to." The Hebrew word here is the term sephah. Sephah, it means to be fully aware of a situation in order to gain an advantage and keep from being surprised. Unlike the English definition of watch, which is passive in grammar, the Hebrew word watch, sephah, is in the active voice and involves active participation on the part of the believer in faith, prayer, and yes, praise and thanksgiving for what we are watching for. It should come as no surprise to the believing parent of a prodigal when God answers their prayers for them and the hand of the Lord is moving in the deliverance and salvation of their wayward son and daughter. No wonder Jesus told Mary and Martha when they doubted that Lazarus would rise from the grave, Jesus said, "Did I not tell you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" The third phrase in our text that dispels despair and renews hope is, "I will wait," or hope. I will wait, or hope. The Hebrew word here being yachal, yachal. Now, Webster's dictionary defines wait as a period of delay or standing still. The similar meaning of hope is defined by the synonyms to wish for, to dream of, or to aspire. But those definitions carry the connotation of uncertainty. That's not the case with the believer. Even the synonyms for wait, such as hold on or sit tight, carry the idea of not being very sure of the outcome. If you're waiting for a bus or for the arrival of someone, the amount of certainty and confidence you have that they'll arrive is based on their reliability. But there is still no 100% guarantee of that. But that is not the case with God. the meaning of I will wait, I will hope in Hebrew is much deeper and richer. Yachal, to wait or to hope, means to have complete confidence of the results. It does not mean to cross your fingers in the possibility of an outcome. It means to be confident that God will bring an outcome. In fact, Yachal is a command. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, I will wait is the word hupomeno. Hupomeno. It literally means to remain in place even when all others are choosing to depart or leave or give up. The other Greek word for wait or hope is elpizo. Elpizo. It's in the aorist tense, imperative mood and grammar. It literally means just do it now. Don't delay. It's urgent. Michael was saying that even though others may doubt or fall away, or the circumstances are dark, he would have complete and immediate confidence that God was going to come through. He did not need to see the results or the answer. He would believe now. You and I can have that same confidence in God, and we can have it now. God commands it. The next phrase or word that dispels despair and renews hope is the word salvation. Micah says that he will watch and wait for the God of his salvation. That Hebrew word is yesha, which means to defend, to rescue, or to help. But there is another great picture of this Hebrew word. The root meaning of salvation, or yesha, is in Arabic, which means to make wide or sufficient. This root word would be the opposite to the word sarar, which means to be restricted or to cause distress because of not having a way out. Whatever is wide or gives egress or escape or freedom would alleviate distress instead of being hemmed in or cornered. When the anxieties and worries of our circumstances, of what we're seeing in our prodigals, are causing you and I distress, the God of our salvation, whom we are watching and waiting for, puts us in a wide place, freeing us from having to worry about them. We are no longer hemmed in, cornered, or trapped by our anxieties for their deliverance and salvation. Praise the Lord that He is the God of salvation. And the last phrase that dispels despair and renews hope is the phrase, "My God will hear me." Webster's and other English dictionaries define hear or hearing as the function or power to perceive or to listen. However, once again, the Hebrew meaning is much deeper in what the idea conveys. The Hebrew word for hear in this text is the word shama. Shama. It doesn't just mean to hear, but it also means to respond, to answer. In a previous study, we looked at the prophet Habakkuk and his complaints in chapter 1, verse 2, where the prophet complained that God does not hear shamachim. But in the very same chapter, God answers Habakkuk and tells him that he is doing something in his own time and in his own way. God does hear shama us when we cry out to him about our unsaved and wayward sons and daughters. But not only is he listening to our prayers for them, he is also responding and working at that moment, shama also, to our prayers for their deliverance and salvation. What reassurance we can have with regards to our petitions for our wayward sons and daughters. You know, when we look at the ravaged moral landscape of our nation and our society, and we see the effects that it's having on our prodigal and wayward sons and daughters, the enemy and our flesh will tempt us to sink into despair, to doubt that God is hearing our prayers for them, and to doubt that He's working. But when we read of the hope-filled attitude of men of God like Micah, it should encourage us to believe and trust that God is still on the throne, that He cares and that He hears, shama, our prayers, and that He is able and will deliver, save, and restore our wayward sons and daughters. And so, let us watch and wait for the God of our salvation. He does shamach. He does hear us, and He will come through. God will answer your prayer, my prayer, our prayers for our wayward, prodigal, and unsaved sons and daughters. Let us continue to petition and intercede for them and fast as well, and to continue to be epistles that can be seen and read by them, so that they will come to the foot of the cross. Praise God. Well, we've come to the halfway mark of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, and at this time we break into a musical interlude that I pray will bless you and encourage you. And upon the conclusion of this musical interlude, we're going to come before the throne of grace and present the numerous requests we have on behalf of several parents and their unsaved children. So be blessed by this musical interlude and stay tuned for the second half of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Be blessed.
The foot of the cross. Have you ever tried to measure just one sin? Seeking forgiveness when your heart knows within. Our God will not judge us on how big or how small. He looks for Calvary's blood to cover it all.
Praise God for those two beautiful musical numbers. At the foot of the cross, that's where we want our prodigals to end up. At the foot of the cross, surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ. And that second song, the blood covered it all. No matter what your prodigal has done, no matter how far they may appear to be, the blood will cover all their sins. No prodigal is too far gone for the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver and save. Don't let the enemy deceive you into believing that your prodigal is too difficult a nut to crack. All things are possible if you believe. Let's get right to our prayer requests. And again, there is still time to submit your request. If you type it into the Podbeam, if you are listening on the Podbeam app, you can type it in and we will see it on our screen and bring it before the throne of grace. But let's get right to our prayer. We she has two daughters a 21-year-old named Lily and a 19-year-old named Ruby. And both were brought up in the faith. They were worship leaders in the church. Lily did 3 months of Bible evangelizing, and they both did Bible studies to the youth. But however, tragically, over a year ago, they both chose to leave the faith, and they have started going out nightclubbing and out into the world and to its lures. Mom says it's been several months of crying and praying and trying to find a new faith and trust in the Lord that they would return speedily to their first love, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to touch and agree first for this mom, for her continued strength in the Lord. Now we're going to pray for these two young ladies. Touch and agree with me right now for this mom in Australia. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see the burden that this mom is carrying for her two children. And Lord, you know, I know all too well what that burden is like to see your children living a life without Christ, pretty much on self-destruct. Lord, it's especially difficult when they were in the faith and then they walk away for whatever reason, Lord God. We ask you right now to strengthen this mom in Australia. She says that she's been crying and trying to find strength. Well, Lord, dry her eyes. Dry those tears from her eyes, Lord God. Wipe away those tears, Lord, and replace any despair with strength and hope and complete trust and confidence in you, Lord God. Empower her with all grace. Give her grace to hold up at this difficult time, Lord God. Help her to persevere in prayer and not faint. Lord, when the enemy tries to discourage her, even through the watches of the night, wondering what her daughters are doing and worrying over them, Lord, cast away these fears. Send ministering angels to this mom in Australia to strengthen her, to comfort her, to encourage her, Lord God. Help her to have sweet sleep at night, Lord God. Not to stay up at night wringing her hands. That's easy to do, Lord God. Many of us as parents do it when our prodigals are out in the world. That's what the enemy wants. He wants us to wring our hands and worry and fret and just lose sleep. But worry, Lord, it's not your will that we are worried or upset, Lord God. So replace any worry. We rebuke worry. We rebuke anxiety. We rebuke discouragement right now. We speak life to this mom. Encourage her heart, Lord God. Give her a strong double portion of your spirit. Give this mom in Australia an upper room experience. Holy Ghost fire burning in her soul with trust and hope and complete confidence that her prayers will be answered. And right now, Lord God, we touch and agree for these two young ladies, Lily and Ruby. Lord, let's call it for what it is right now, Lord God. These two young ladies are now walking in step with the wicked. They're standing in the way of sinners, and they may even be sitting in the company of mockers, Lord God. They used to delight in your law, and they used to meditate on it day and night. And at one point in time, Lord God, they were like trees planted like rivers of water. Their lives were bearing fruit for you, Lord God. And now, Heavenly Father, their lives are like chaff that the wind blows away. Lord God, if they were to die right now, they may not stand in the judgment, Heavenly Father. They've turned away from you, Lord God. Lord, you watch over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Deliver these two young ladies from the path of destruction. Open up their eyes, Lord God. Help them realize that they are in the path. Remove them from stepping in with the wicked. Remove them from the way of the sinner. Remove them from the company of mockers, Lord God. Convict them of their sinfulness. Yes, Lord, we are praying your word. We are praying scripture over these two young ladies right now. Lord, your word says that you watch over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Remove Lily and Ruby from the way of destruction right now, Lord God. Redirect them back onto the path of life. Take away and remove anyone in their lives who is whispering in their ear Let's go out and have a good time. Let's go party. Let's drink. Remove these people from their lives. Cast them away. Bring people into their lives who are witnessing to them. Let people continue to pray for Lily and Ruby. Convict them of their waywardness right now, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you. We know you're going to work right now. You're working right now, even as we speak. You're moving, Lord God. Now, you Shema. You are hearing us, Lord God. You are hearing the prayers of this mom in Australia, Lord God. And you are moving even at this moment. We praise you and we thank you. We know we'll receive a praise report. Move, Lord God, in your own way and in your own time. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We have a request, again, from a mom who has a daughter named Margaret. And Margaret was saved several years ago, and Margaret has struggled with an alternative lifestyle most of her teenage life, and she is now 20 years old and has moved away and is caught up in an ungodly relationship. And mom says, please pray that she loves the Lord with all her heart and that she turns from the sin so that the love of the abundant life in Christ has for her is real in her life again. This is a stronghold that mom is asking us to pray away and replace it with his truth. Let's touch and agree right now for this young lady by the name of Margaret. We're also going to pray for mom as well. Our prayers aren't going to be much different. It's not going to be vain repetition. All parents need encouragement and strengthening. Touch and agree with me right now for this mom. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you thanking you for a praying parent on behalf of their prodigal son or daughter, Lord God. And Lord, we pray that you bless and strengthen this mom as she continues to pray and believe that her daughter would be restored back to the faith. Again, Lord, strengthen this mom and encourage her heart. Don't let discouragement or despair or what she sees or hears take hold of her, Lord God. The enemy will have her look at the circumstances. We rebuke the voice of the enemy that's trying to discourage this mom. We speak life over this mom's life, encouragement and strength and fortitude and perseverance. And right now we lift up Margaret in prayer, Lord God. Lord, your word says, why do the nations conspire and the prophets plot in vain, Lord God? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together. Lord, many people view serving you as being shackled or being a burden. It says in Psalm 2, Lord God, that people who rebel against you say that they want to break the chains and throw off your shackles, Lord God. This misconception that serving you is slavery, that your intention is to have us in bondage, that is a lie from the enemy. You came that we may have life and have it abundantly. And so right now we pray for Margaret, Lord God. First and foremost, we pray that this stronghold of alternative lifestyle be pulled down in the name of Jesus. I know all too well about the stronghold, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we pull down this stronghold, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood over Margaret. The blood of Jesus over this young lady. Open up her eyes. She has believed the lies of the enemy, that there's nothing harmful about this lifestyle, or that God may bless it, or that it's okay or normal. All lies, satanic, demonic propaganda. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and we plead the blood over Margaret's soul, over her mind, over her heart. Convict her, open up her eyes to the truth, Lord God. Let her see that these are lies from the enemy. Send people Margaret's way who will speak to her. Lord, send situations and circumstances in her path that'll redirect her. It's a scary thing to say, do what it takes, Lord God, but we're praying that right now, Lord. Do what it takes. Do whatever it takes, Lord God, to bring Margaret back to the faith, Heavenly Father, if she ever was in the faith. Lord, open up her eyes to the waywardness of her lifestyle, Lord God. You've delivered many from this stronghold. Deliver her, Lord God. Deliver her. Save her. Fill her with your spirit, Lord God. Reveal yourself to her in a mighty, mighty way, Lord God. If necessary, give her a Damascus Road experience, Lord God, in revelation to her of your truth and your love. We commit Margaret into your hands. We praise you. We worship you, Lord God. We thank you right now. We thank you for Margaret. We thank you for this situation. You will be glorified, Lord God. You will be glorified in this situation. You Shema. You hear our prayers. You hear Mom's prayer. And you will bring it to pass. In Jesus' name, we thank you for Margaret's deliverance and salvation. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for two young men by the name of Joshua. And we have a praise report, actually. Now, both these young men at one time were in bondage to substance abuse and other issues. Now, one of them, Joshua, my wife and I visited a local church in Port Jervis, New York, and we ran into this young man in that church. He has committed his life to Jesus Christ. He was in church praising God. We know the enemy is trying to work overtime and pull him back into the world, but this young man is committed. He has accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he was in church. And so we thank the Lord for that. He is not out in the street. He is not doing what he was doing before. And so we need to pray. We need to thank God that the Lord is moving in his life. But we need to continue to pray for Joshua. Now, the other Joshua, we have no update on. He was struggling with substance abuse as well. So we're going to have to commit him to the Lord's hands and pray for him also. Touch and agree with me right now for these two young men, but with the name of a warrior. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for both these young men named Joshua. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you that this first young man named Joshua has taken refuge in you, and you've saved, and you've delivered and saved him from the enemy that was pursuing him. His name is written in the book of life, Lord God. And so we thank you for opening up his eyes to the truth, delivering him and saving him. However, Lord God, we know the enemy will work overtime. The enemy will try to overwhelm him with shame and anguish. The enemy will try to turn him back. But Lord, we just pray for Joshua's strength in the Lord. Let your Holy Spirit give him strength and perseverance. Turn him into a powerful, powerful man of God, Lord. Help Joshua to make you his shield. Help him to be upright in heart, Lord God. Help him not to relent, but to be persevering in living for you, Lord God. Help him to always give thanks to you, because of the righteousness that you've given him, Heavenly Father. Lord, strengthen Joshua. Give him a hunger for your word. Help him to live a completely dedicated and consecrated life for you. And we pray for this other young man named Joshua, Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that you move in his life. We don't know exactly what's going on, Lord, but you know exactly where Joshua is and what he's doing, Heavenly Father. You know the circumstances. You know what's going on. And so, Lord, we just ask you right now that you move in Joshua's life, that you deliver him and save him. We don't know what's happening, Lord God, so we commit this other Joshua into your hands, Lord. We may not ever know what's going on, but we commit him to you, Lord God. We commit him completely to you. We thank you, and we praise you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, Lord God, amen. And amen. We received this prayer request, I believe this was yesterday, and a mom or a parent says that they have two daughters that have left the faith, and these two young ladies have a lot of church pain in their past that has left the door open for Satan to deceive and pull them away. And it says here that they believe there is little good in the church, and therefore they have no intention of ever stepping foot in a church again. And this parent says that this situation has broken them. Their names are Summer and Madeline. We need to pray that these two young ladies see the lies that they have let their hearts believe, satanic lies. And this parent prays that they be an example in their lives. And this parent goes on to say they have no idea how to proceed. Well, before we get into prayer for them, let me say this, that there are many, many young people, many prodigals who are prodigals because they have seen, perhaps they've been hurt in the church. Maybe they've had a negative experience. Maybe they have turned away from the church because of hypocrisy that they've seen. I once led a podcast devotional on prodigals who have seen these prosperity preachers and televangelists living lavish lifestyles, financial mismanagement, or church scandals. And this has promoted sarcasm and cynicism in the minds and hearts of many prodigals. Why should they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior? Why should they go to church? Why should they believe? The church is full of hypocrisy. Well, you know what? They're right. Churches do have hypocrisy. But we're not called to keep our eyes on the church. We're not called to keep our eyes on Christians. We're called to keep our eyes on Christ. And so, Summer and Madeline have had a negative experience in church. So if you're listening, parent of these two young ladies, if you're listening live right now, I feel led of the Lord to give you this small portion of guidance. Don't force them to go to church. They may not want to go to church, and I believe that because of the sensitive nature of what they're feeling right now, they're not ready to set foot in the church. A better course of action may be to have devotions with them right there at home. That way you keep the spiritual fire burning. Sit down with them to read the scriptures. Have a devotional time with them, or have a regular time of Bible reading with them right there at home. If possible, maybe invite some other young people from the church to your home. If they won't go to the church, bring the church to them. And I don't mean bring a lot of people and turn your home into a church, but maybe bring one or two young people from the church who are strong in the Lord to your home with some refreshments and have a time of devotional or prayer or Bible reading, something very, very casual and light. And that way, again, you keep the spiritual fire burning. Again, they won't come to church. So bring the church to them in your home. That's how the early church started, in homes. So I think that would be a good idea. Try that. I believe that the Lord would use a situation like this, again, because it takes their eyes off the church that they won't step foot into, but it'll refocus their eyes and mind on Christ. We're to focus our eyes on Christ. That's what Jesus said in a nutshell, so to speak, to Peter. He looked at the storm. And right now your two daughters are looking at the storm in the church. Jesus said to keep your eyes on him. The minute Peter took his eyes off Christ, the storm overwhelmed Peter. And as long as we keep our eyes on the hypocrisy in the church, we'll be overwhelmed by the inconsistencies. We're not called to keep our eyes on Christians. We're called to keep our eyes on Christ. He will keep us walking on the water. And I hope that this feedback was a help to you. But right now, we're going to touch and agree for Summer and Madeline right now. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for this parent who is burdened for these two young ladies, Summer and Madeline. And right now, Lord God, the enemy has deceived these two young ladies. Yes, Lord, they have become discouraged. They have become disillusioned. I'm not sure what happened, Lord God. Maybe they were mistreated, or maybe they were spoken down to, or maybe they saw hypocrisy. Whatever it is, Lord God, the enemy has used this situation to deter them from the faith. Lord God, those are not the same thing. Father, through the power of your Spirit, refocus both these young ladies so that they turn to you. They turn to Christ, not Christians. Convict them of their waywardness as well, Lord God. Lord, you reign forever, and you have established your throne in heaven, Lord God. We give thanks to you, Lord God, with all our hearts. And we ask you right now, Lord, we ask you to turn back the forces of darkness that are working in Summer and Madeline's life, Lord God. Help these two young ladies to stand upright again in their faith. Lord, speak to their hearts, Lord God. Help these parents, Lord, be testimonies before their two daughters, Lord God. Refocus the attention, the eyes, and the hearts and the souls of these two young ladies, not on the church, not on Christians, not on hypocrisy, but to focus on you, Lord Jesus, you and you alone. You are the way, the truth, and the life, not the church and not believers. So help these two young ladies to reset their sights. Lord, help them basically, Lord God, to rethink their decision. We need to focus on you, Lord Jesus. The church is not the way, the truth, and the life. You are, Lord God. Help them to realize, refocus Summer and Madeline to the truth that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Restore them back to the faith, Heavenly Father. Restore them back to trusting you, not the church, trusting you, Lord God. We commit them into your hands, Lord God, Summer and Madeline. Lord, we are burdened for these two young ladies. Don't let them go to hell. Don't let them get left behind when the rapture takes place. Bring them back to the fold, Lord God. Renew their faith in you, Lord Jesus, and no one else. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for three young ladies by the name of Gabby, Angela, and Valentina. And these three young ladies were caught up in a web of depression, low self-esteem, and maybe living lives outside of the Spirit of God, going about their business or partying. Now, one of these young ladies, Valentina, committed her life to Christ. She was battling several issues that she was in bondage to, but we've seen several posts on social media of her reading scripture and praying. Now, anybody can read scripture and pray, but apparently in my conversations with Valentina's parents, she has indeed submitted her life and surrendered her life to Christ, and she is seeking the Lord. We need to praise God for that, and we need to pray her continued strength in the Lord. These other two young ladies, Gabby and Angela, we need to continue to pray for their salvation as well, that they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Touch and agree with me right now for three young ladies, Gabby, Angela, and Valentina. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you moved in Valentina's life, Lord God. You opened up her eyes to the truth. She was caught up in sin, trapped in the enemy's camp, stuck behind a stronghold wall. And Lord, you brought down the stronghold wall and you have delivered her. Now, Lord God, you are turning her into a mighty woman of God. Well, Lord, we pray that you continue the work that you've began in Valentina's life. Don't let her stray away, Lord. Don't let her get discouraged or weak. Strengthen her with all power, with all grace, Lord. Make her a powerful and mighty woman of God. Hear our cry, Heavenly Father. Probe Valentina's heart and make it pure, Lord God. Your word says in Joshua, Heavenly Father, that this word of the law shall not depart out of our mouths, but we need to meditate therein day and night. Lord, help Valentina meditate on your word day and night, muttering it to herself. Bring scriptures to her mind and heart throughout the day and the watches of the night that will encourage, strengthen, and comfort her in the faith. Give her a close relationship to you, Lord God. We pray right now for these two other young ladies, Gabby and Angela. Father, you see exactly what they're doing, who they're with, what they're involved in, what they're in bondage to. Lord, break the bonds. Break the stronghold, Lord God. Deliver these two young ladies from whatever they are in bondage to, Lord. We ask you right now for grace. Have mercy on them, Heavenly Father. Have mercy on them. And bring them to the foot of the cross, Lord God. They need salvation. Time is short. It is appointed once unto men to die, and after this to judgment. Lord, don't let them go into a crisis eternity. Do whatever it takes to bring these two young ladies to the foot of the cross, where they admit that you are their Lord and Savior, where they confess their sins, and they admit their need for a Savior. Remove any feelings or thoughts of self-sufficiency. They don't need Jesus Christ. They're fine the way they are. We rebuke those thoughts right now. Take those thoughts and those feelings and that frame of mind away from them. Break the stubborn will. Remove the pride. Remove the resistance. If they're in bondage to pleasure of any kind, Lord God, give them a distaste for it. Let them see the emptiness of their lives without you, Lord. We commit them both into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned earlier in the podcast that my dear brother Jamie, who's our sound person, dear brother in Christ, had a daughter named China. China was in bondage at one time, but every week we lift China up before the throne of grace. That the Lord continue to move in China's life and continue to mold her and make her and shape her into a powerful woman of God. Touch and agree with me right now for our dear sister China. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for hearing the prayers of two godly parents who are praying for their daughter China. We thank you for these praying parents, a Priscilla and an Aquila, Lord God. And we ask you right now that you look upon their daughter China. She has committed her life to you, Lord God. But Lord, there will always be a satanic counterattack to lure people back out into the world who have committed their lives to you. And so, Lord, right now we lift up China before you, Heavenly Father. Keep her safe, Lord God. Help her to continuously and always look to you for refuge during times of temptation or discouragement, Lord God. Help China to always say, you are her Lord, Lord God. Help her to serve no one else. You are her Lord. When the enemy tries to lure her away and distract her, you are her Lord. Help China to continuously remember that. Help China to remember that apart from you, she has no good thing. Make China into a holy and consecrated woman of God. Make her a noble woman as she already is, Heavenly Father. Pour out your spirit on her life. Make her a prayer warrior. Give her a hunger for your word, Lord God. Let China realize that you alone are her portion and her cup. Pour out your spirit in her life. Increase her knowledge of your word. Make China into an Esther, a Ruth, a Deborah, a Sarah, a Mary, a Priscilla. Make her a powerful, consecrated, committed, holy, persevering, strong woman of God. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Edgar. Edgar is the adult son of a dear brother and sister in Christ who attends Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. Edgar knows the gospel, but he is not saved. He has never, as far as we know, committed his life to Christ. And that's the way the enemy wants to keep it. The enemy wants to keep Edgar in his camp. The enemy wants Edgar to think he's fine the way he is. Well, he's not. He's not. Touch and agree with me right now for Edgar. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we pray for a full revelation of you in Edgar's life, Lord God. Let every stronghold of the enemy that's making Edgar resist committing his life to you be pulled down. Pull it down, Lord God. Pull down the stronghold of self-righteousness. And maybe he thinks he doesn't need you. Pull down the stronghold of self-sufficiency, that right now he doesn't need a savior. Pull down the stronghold of the love of this life, Lord God. Busy going about his business. No time for the things of eternity. Pull down that stronghold. Whatever stronghold Edgar is in bondage to, pull it down, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we bind the strong man that's attached to Edgar's life. We plead your blood over his soul, over his mind, Lord God. Open up his eyes to the truth. Give Edgar a heart of flesh. Reveal yourself to him, Lord. We pray for his deliverance and salvation. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen, Lord. We thank you and we praise you that you're moving in Edgar's life. We're waiting for the praise report. We're waiting to hear from Edgar's parents that something has happened. Shema, we know you hear us, Lord God. We worship and we praise you for answered prayer with respect to this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We need to touch and agree right now in prayer for a young man by the name of Matthew. We pray for Matthew every week. However, I received an update regarding Matthew from his mom. And, you know, a lot of times when we pray for prodigals, many times satanic opposition is kicked up. The enemy gets angry that we are praying for someone. And the word I received is that Matthew is caught up in the occult. And he's in bondage to other things as well. We need to touch and agree. Right now, we're going to enter prayer warfare against the forces of darkness. We're going to lift up and pray for Matthew right now. Touch and agree with me right now. Let's go into combat for Matthew. Heavenly Father, right now, Lord God, we put on the helmet of salvation. We pick up the shield of faith, and we wield the sword of the Spirit right now in combat against the forces of darkness that are working in Matthew's life. Lord, we plead your blood over Matthew. We enter the enemy's camp right now, and we fight right now for Matthew's soul. Lord, you see that Matthew is in bondage, satanic and demonic bondage to the occult, or depression, or many other issues, Lord God. The enemy has them completely and tightly bound. Right now, we plead the blood of Jesus against these satanic chains. Let all hindrances that are coming between Matthew's heart and the gospel be melted away. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit melt away these chains of bondage that are holding Matthew in bondage. We rebuke the forces of darkness right now. We wave the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Take your hands off Matthew right now. Send a battalion of angels to do combat with demonic echelons. This is a fight to the death. The earth is the battleground for the souls of men. And right now we do combat against satanic forces for Matthew's soul. We plead the blood of Jesus for Matthew right now. Send people Matthew's way who will witness to him. And remove people from Matthew's life that the enemy is using to coerce him, to lie to him, to deceive him. Whatever people that he's speaking to are involved in the occult, cast them away, strike them down, remove them in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Christ over Matthew right now. Oh, we just pray for Matthew right now. Deliver Matthew. Deliver him. Deliver Matthew right now. Deliver Matthew. We wave the sword of the Spirit against the forces of darkness right now. We commit Matthew into your hands, Lord God. We commit him into your hands. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. We plead the blood over Matthew. We know you can do it, Lord God. I touch and agree with my sister right now. We plead the blood over Matthew. We will not give way. No quarter. Move in Matthew's life. Do whatever you gotta do, Lord. Do whatever you need to do. But move in Matthew's life and deliver him. Free him, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Right now, we're going to touch and agree for a young man by the name of Johnny. Johnny is the adult son of a dear sister who is tuning in right now. Dear sister, be encouraged and watch the road. Johnny will be on it. We're going to touch and agree right now for your son. Johnny's in bondage to a variety of issues, but the blood of Jesus breaks all bonds. Touch and agree with me right now, sister. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for a mom who is persevering in prayer for her son. Strengthen this mom with all power and all might. Strengthen her steps. Strengthen her spirit. Help this mom wield the sword of the spirit in her home. Help this mom hold up the shield of faith. No one, Lord God, who trusts in you shall be put to shame. We know you're going to come through. And so we praise you and thank you for this praying mom. Continue to encourage your heart and to stay strong in the spirit. We pray right now for this young man, Johnny, Lord God. You see where he is at this very moment, Lord God. You know what he's doing and who he's with. Through whatever circumstances you need to do, Lord God, bring Johnny to the foot of the cross. Bring him to his knees. Help him to bend the knee, bow the head, and humble the heart, so that he receives you as his Lord and Savior. Help him to realize the emptiness of his life without you, Lord Jesus. Put a burden in his heart to come to church. Send people Johnny's way who witness to him, Lord God, no matter who it is. A friend, a neighbor, anyone, Lord God. And remove anyone who is a hindrance to him. Satan uses friends as well. Strike down and cast away any negative influences in Johnny's life. Let every desire of the enemy on the soul of Johnny not prosper in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood over Johnny right now. We claim him for you, Lord God. We enter the enemy's camp like Abraham entered the enemy's camp. We rescue Johnny the way Abraham rescued Lot. No prisoners. Johnny is ours. He's yours, Lord God. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for moving in Johnny's life, for delivering him from whatever he's in bondage to and whatever stronghold he's stuck behind. Pull it down. Tear it down. We take captivity captive. We cancel contracts against Johnny. We proclaim freedom and speak life over him. Thank you for delivering Johnny and saving him. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to happen. But we touch and agree with our sister. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the victory that we see is on its way. Glory to you, Lord God. We touch and agree with you, sister. Wherever two or more are gathered, there you are in the midst, Heavenly Father. And we touch and agree with our sister for his salvation. Amen and amen. Our last prayer request is for a brother in Christ named Curtis. Now, Curtis is the adult son of a dear sister in Christ from Texas. We call her Texas Mom. And for a while, Curtis was not saved, and we had touched and agreed every week for Curtis's deliverance and salvation. Well, you know what? The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Curtis ended up receiving Christ as his Lord and Savior. And now Curtis is saved. And God has blessed Curtis's life in a mighty way. He's blessed him with a strong walk. He's blessed him with a good paying job. And the Lord is moving in Curtis's life. And we need to also to continue to pray for this mom, that she stays strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Touch and agree with me right now for Texas mom and then for her son Curtis. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again for a praying mom and a godly household that is saturated in prayer and filled with your spirit. Her home is an upper room. We thank you and praise you for Texas mom, a godly woman who is persevering in prayer for her son. Strengthen this mom. Continue to make her mighty in prayer and a mighty woman of God. We lift up this young man, Curtis, before you, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for his deliverance and salvation, Lord God, for moving in his life, Heavenly Father. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain, Lord God? The one whose walk is blameless. Help Curtis to live a blameless life, Lord God. Committed to you. Committed to your ways. Committed to living consecrated. The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous. Help Curtis to live a righteous life. The fruit of the Spirit abundantly evident in his life, Lord God. Pour out your Spirit in Curtis's life so that he bears spiritual fruit. Help Curtis to speak the truth from his heart. Help his tongue to utter no slander. Help him to honor you, Lord God, with his life. Help him to live a life fully committed and consecrated to you, Lord God. Help Curtis to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Help Curtis to put on the whole armor of God so he can withstand the wiles of the devil. We commit Curtis into your hands, Lord God. We speak the word. We pray scripture over Curtis right now. Your word is truth, Lord God. We commit Curtis into your hands. We thank you for blessing his life, blessing him with a job, moving in his life, helping his life to prosper. And like the book of Joshua says, Lord God, we prayed again for him as well. Let this book of the law not depart from Curtis's mouth, but help him to meditate on your word day and night. Help him not to meditate on anything else, Lord God. Not pleasure, not sin, not anxiety, not worries. Help Curtis to meditate on your word day and night, and then his life will bear fruit, and he will have success and prosper in the way. Make Curtis a man of the word. Make Curtis a man of obedience. Make Curtis a man of consecration and commitment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we've come to the end of this edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in. The next time we'll be on the air will be next Thursday, May 9th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, I have another announcement to make. I made this announcement last week as well and the week before. On Thursday, May 30th, we are going to have a very special guest on the air, Brother Fred Jacoby. Brother Fred Jacoby is a mental health therapist with Foundations Christian Counseling in Johnson City, New York, just outside of Binghamton. And again, Brother Fred is a mental health therapist, and he'll be coming on the air live to take your questions about faith, about emotional issues or mental health issues. Yes, many of our prodigals do have mental health issues. I would never dismiss the role of the satanic and the demonic in the lives of our prodigals, even in our lives as well. The enemy tries to oppress us. And also there are issues that are emotional and mental in nature that the enemy can manipulate. Well, our dear brother Fred's going to come live on the air to provide feedback for those of you who may have questions tied into mental health or emotional, spiritual issues. It's an integration of the Word of God and practical Christian counseling principles. If you have an issue, if you have a question regarding depression, low self-esteem, drugs or alcohol addiction, or anything else for that matter, anxiety or worry, and you have a question for our dear brother Fred, who's a Christian mental health therapist and approaches his therapy using the Word of God, we invite you to tune in live on Thursday, May 30th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, he'll be taking questions live on the air, but you don't have to wait until then. You can submit your questions on the parentsofprodigals.us app website. There is a tab there where you can submit your questions, and that way we can pop the questions to our dear brother Fred when he comes on the air. And that way, in the event you cannot come on the air for whatever reason, we will have your question put to him, and you can listen to it when he answers it. Again, this is Thursday, May 30th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Brother Fred Jacoby of Foundations Christian Counseling. And he will be on the air live to share his testimony, share some insights, take your questions, and provide feedback to you regarding any spiritual, emotional, or mental health issues. It's going to be a blessed time, I'm sure. And we will also enter the time of prayer. We don't only pray for these requests during the podcast. You can submit your prayer requests also, and we will pray for your prodigals during the week and mention it live on the air. And so we invite you, again, to submit your prayer requests so we can pray for your unsaved, wayward, or backslidden son and daughter. Time is short. Again, the next event on the prophetic biblical calendar is the rapture. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. We need to pray for our prodigals. We need to believe the Lord that he will move and work in their lives and that they'll come to Christ. But until that time, if you are the parent of an unsaved or prodigal son and daughter, and you live in New York, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North or South Carolina, Oklahoma, or Idaho, and you are burdened for the deliverance and salvation of your unsaved son and daughter, if you're the parent or guardian of a prodigal, and you live in Maryland, Tennessee, Ohio, Utah, New Jersey, or Montana, and it agonizes you to see your son or daughter in bondage to drugs or alcohol, an alternative lifestyle, or living in sin, and you want them to have the joy of salvation. If you are the parent of a wayward or prodigal or backslidden son and daughter, and you live in Illinois, Minnesota, Louisiana, Kentucky, Nebraska, Arizona, Wyoming or Mississippi or Indiana, Rhode Island, New Mexico, or Washington State. If you're the parent or guardian of an unsaved, backslidden, or wayward son and daughter, and you live in Russia, Japan, Ireland, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, Brazil, France, or Mexico. If you're the parent or guardian, the mother or the father of a prodigal son and daughter, maybe they've never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe they've backslidden. Maybe they've lost their way and they're back out in the world. Maybe the enemy is holding them in bondage to a stronghold. And you want them to be delivered and saved. If you are that parent of a prodigal, wayward, or backslidden son and daughter, I say this to you and I say it to myself. Continue in prayer, being watchful therein. And watch the road. Watch the road. Watch the road. Your prodigal, my prodigal daughter, all of our prodigals, if we continue to pray, believe, trust, and commit them to the Lord, our prodigals will be on it. Until next Thursday, May 9th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is Brother Alan Weir, on behalf of all of us at Parents of Prodigals, wishing you a good night, and God bless you all.